stockholders. They're public, and the stockholders want profits, like in all corporations that are public. So do you think that the demand of stockholders for increasing profits puts pressure on for-profit colleges to not only recruit a lot of students, but to keep the tuition high?
I don't think there's any question that when a for-profit college becomes publicly traded, there's extra pressure to satisfy their investors. And that usually translates into efforts to boost enrollment. So I'd say a lot of the sort of practice of incentive compensation in the last few years, paying recruiters based on how many students they enroll, and some of the abuses where maybe they were signing up students who needed more academic training or weren't likely to succeed in college, I think a lot of that can probably be attributed to the pressure to satisfy Wall Street.
You know, the students who default on their loans and don't graduate, nobody forced them to go to college. Nobody forced them to take out a loan. How much responsibility do they bear for the predicament that they're in? Your article is very, you know, critical of the for-profit colleges. But what about the students?
I mean, that's a difficult question. And I guess it depends partly to whether they were given full and accurate information by the recruiters and, you know, how much they knew they were getting into. And, you know, the evidence seems to suggest that recruiters who were paid on the basis of how many students they would sign up, you know, did not necessarily provide a balanced picture of the pluses and minuses, and didn't also necessarily give people enough time to make a thorough assessment for themselves. And often you're dealing with people whose families do not include, you know, college graduates and do not have a lot of sophistication about the system, and may just have seen, you know, an ad on a website or a late night television program, called up on a whim, and you know, got themselves signed up into college and on the hook for federal student loans almost before they knew what happened. And that doesn't absolve them totally of responsibility, but it does, you know, it suggests that the colleges have a responsibility too.
So would you give any suggestions to people who are or who know somebody who will be trying to enroll in a for-profit college, things to watch out for?
Well, I would look closely at the for-profit colleges, you know, whatever statistics are available about it, the graduation rate, the loan repayment rate, the tuition rate. If you're looking for a program that has a sort of clinical component, such as nursing, make sure that the college offers that program and not just an online course, that you get they arrange for the actual clinical experience that you may need. And check the accreditation of the for-profit college. Often for-profit colleges may have an accreditation that is kind of a second tier compared to the accreditation of a traditional college, so that if you go to the for-profit college for a while and you want to transfer to a traditional college, that college may not accept your credits, and so you'd have to start all over. So make sure your course credits can transfer, make sure there's the needed clinical experience, and make sure that there's a decent chance of being able to repay whatever loans you get.
How can you tell if a college has second-tier accreditation?
Well, the highest level of accreditation is known as regional accreditation, and there's six regional accreditors, and each of them has a website and lists the colleges that they do accredit. Now, one thing that's interesting, there was a pattern over the last decade, was that for-profit colleges that had a kind of accreditation known as national accreditation, which isn't sort of considered quite as desirable in traditional circles, they were buying small, struggling religious colleges or nonprofit colleges that had very few students and were losing money, but had the coveted regional accreditation. And because the accreditation essentially went with the institution rather than changing with the owner, the colleges were essentially buying accreditation. And so a number of for-profit colleges now do have regional accreditation by virtue of those acquisitions.
But that doesn't make the quality of the education you're going to get there any better? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, what they did was that they acquired the college, but then they would totally transform it. So they would acquire the accreditation, but the college, then they would turn into an online standard for-profit college offering the same programs as many of the others, business, education, criminal justice. So the traditional college often only existed in name, and often the name was changed too. And essentially the accreditation was passed on, and the only the shell of the old college that had gained that accreditation remained. So the accreditation has since said very little about the actual quality of the new for-profit college. There has been some tightening of the crackdown by the accreditation agencies after this encountered a lot of criticism.
So what's going on in Congress now in terms of investigating for-profit colleges and taking sides for and against them?
Well, the Senate Education Committee has been holding for close to a year a series of hearings on various aspects of for-profit colleges and some of the alleged abuses. And then there was has been a lot of battling over this particular regulation I mentioned before. There was an effort in Congress by supporters of for-profit colleges to essentially defund that rule that could have cut off some of the access to financial aid for the schools. That didn't pass, the effort to defund it. And so I think the regulation, it looks as if it will be taking effect at some point. But the for-profit colleges have a lot of allies in Congress. I mean, it's another parallel in a way to the subprime, in the sense that they're a little bit like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were. The for-profit colleges, because they're Wall Street companies, they have a lot of sympathizers among Republican supporters of free enterprise and big business. And because they serve low-income families, they have quite a few allies among, Democrats who know that a lot of their constituents go there. So they have powerful political presence. And in addition, they have spent a lot of money and hired a lot of Washington insiders to lobby. And, they're not to be underestimated as a political force.
So you shared a George Polk Award for reporting for your Bloomberg News story on for-profit colleges. Now, in 2004, you won a Pulitzer Prize for your investigative stories on another end of education, elite universities like Yale and Harvard. You ended up writing a book called Price of Admission, How America's Ruling Class Buys Its Way into Elite Colleges and Who Gets Left Outside the Gates. So it's interesting that you've written about, the very poor and the very rich going to college. What were some of the issues that you raised in your examination of elite universities?
Well, what I documented in my series of stories for the Wall Street Journal and then in my book was that elite universities in the Ivy Leagues and also some elite state universities and others were essentially lowering their admission standards to admit children of alumni, of donors, and other sort of wealthy or well-connected people. Some people refer to that as white affirmative action. I kind of documented it in the context of efforts at the time to, eliminate traditional affirmative action for minority students. And I pointed out that more students benefited from affirmative action for the rich and well-connected. And it's funny, since I began writing about for-profit colleges, some people have said to me, well, before you were critical of the traditional public and nonprofit schools. Now you're attacking the for-profit colleges. Don't you like anybody? And, I gave that some thought, and I realized that there was kind of a common theme in these stories, and that while the elite colleges were, going after, lowering their standards to go after wealthy students, and the for-profit colleges were pursuing the neediest students, I mean, the motive was essentially the same, which was financial gain for the endowments in the first case and from the financial aid from the government in the second case. And it just kind of, I think that the lesson to be drawn from my coverage over these many years now is that, education is obviously a business and there's a place for money in it. But when, financial considerations drive the recruiting and the admission of students kind of to the detriment of other factors, there's going to be problems in the long run.
My takeout from some of your reporting is that something that sounds so good, government giving loans to poor students to go to college, to improve themselves, and then the colleges being there willing to take students who don't have sterling academic records, who don't have money, willing to take them in and help them get a college degree. That sounds so good. But the results are often, not always, but often actually damaging to the students while the colleges themselves make profits.
Yeah, that's part of the heartache, because if the ideally, this could be a route to upward mobility and the American dream. And in that sense, it has the same pathos as it did for many people who took out subprime mortgages in the, you know, with the goal of home ownership and were unable to attain that and ended up burdened with debt instead. So, yes, there's great promise to it. And to be fair to the for-profit colleges, I don't think any type of system has really figured out how to solve the problem of taking academically poorly prepared, low-income students and making sure that they attain great college success. I mean, graduation rates are not very strong at community colleges either. So, I mean, it's a challenge that, you know, perhaps the for-profit colleges haven't figured out yet and with you know, great damage to some individual lives, but it's also a challenge that our entire society still has to solve.
So your stories have focused on students at for-profit colleges who have gotten federal loans that they couldn't repay because they never got the jobs that they were led to believe they'd be able to get. They maybe never even graduated the college program. Did you also look at students who got the federal loans, went to the for-profit college, graduated, got a job, and their lives actually did improve, and they were able to pay off their debts?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, there are any number of satisfied customers, and there are people for whom these colleges have been a leg up to a better life. I mean, you know, there's no question of that. I mean, the question is sort of how widespread is the harm versus how widespread is the benefit. And, you know, these colleges will say, well, look, we have huge numbers of students. I mean, the University of Phoenix has, you know, close to 500,000 students, and there's, you know, more than 100,000 at several other companies. So there's no doubt that you know, many of them are you know, benefit from this, and it works out for them. I mean, but you just have to overall also look at the percentages that show that startlingly low rates of being able to repay loans, high rates of defaulting on loans, low graduation rates, and also just the anecdotal evidence pouring in from so many people, you know, complaining about having been misled. And there's a large number of court cases and so on with some of these similar allegations and the GAO report. And you put it all together, and then the conclusion has to be that, you know, these colleges provide a definite service for some of their students, but many others, you know, come out, you know, either the same or worse.
Well, Daniel Golden, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Daniel Golden won a George Polk Award and was a Pulitzer Prize finalist for the series of articles he co-wrote about for-profit colleges, which was published in Bloomberg News. He now writes for Business Week. You'll find links to his series on for-profit colleges and his series on elite colleges on our website, freshair.npr.org.